Good morning, everyone. How are you doing this morning? Hey, I'm excited to be here preaching my second message of this series, but also my final message here at Discovery. If you were here last week, or if you weren't, last week we talked about the tabernacle and basically how is this picture of Christ, and what a beautiful picture it was. It was this very humble outside and when you looked at it, it didn't look this crazy, over-the-top place where God would dwell. But then when you went inside, it was beautiful. It was beautiful, and it showed the beauty of God with lots of gold, and the presence of God dwelled there. It was very exciting to talk about and see all the different pictures of how it points to who Christ is and how we get to have a relationship with Him. See, back in the Old Testament times, it was hard to have a relationship with God. It was a sacrificial system. You had to go through the high priest, and you had to go through all these different ordinances, all these different rules, all these different regulations to have forgiveness of sin, to have ability to speak to God and hear His will. And so this week we're going to be jumping off of that and talking about the priesthood. We talked about how only the priests entered the tabernacle. Only the priests got to be in the presence of God, and only the high priests got to go into the Holy of Holies and see God manifested here on earth. And we continued to speak about how in the New Testament we are all considered priests. We saw in 1 Peter 2:29 it says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into the wonderful light." So we're living in this time where we're in the New Testament times, where we believe in Jesus and what He did and the sacrifice that He had on the cross on our behalf. The sacrifice for our sins, and we were the ones that were supposed to be on that cross. And He left us with the Holy Spirit, that we could be a dwelling place of God. We didn't need to go into the tabernacle. We didn't have to be the high priest. We didn't have to have the special garments. We didn't have to have any of that. We didn't have to sacrifice a goat, a bull, a lamb. We didn't have to do any of the sacrifices. But we got to be in relationship with God, a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to be talking about priesthood then and now. We're going to be talking about how we are priests. And we're going to be talking about the priests back in the Old Testament and the things that they had to do and the things that point to who God is and points to the New Testament of how we can have a relationship with God and set ourselves apart as priests, as representatives of Jesus, as a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit in our life, and how we are supposed to carry that out in our everyday lives. Now, I've broken this sermon up a little bit different than I normally would. And for your note takers, I'll give you my points. I only have two of them, and I'm going to be going back and forth throughout the whole sermon, and that is then and now. We're going to see what it says in Exodus 28 through 29. Those are our chapters that we're going over this morning. We're going to see what it says it meant to be a priest then, and then compare it to what it says in the New Testament in our own lives of what it means to be a priest, a dwelling place of God, this people that represent who God is. And so that's how we're going to be breaking it down. So, like last week, Exodus 28 through 29 is a lot of instructions, just like we talked about the instructions of building the tabernacle and the very detailed instructions that God had given His people to build the tabernacle. There's very specific instructions for our priests, how they were supposed to wear their garments, what their garments were supposed to be made out of, how they were supposed to be consecrated. And we see this beautiful picture of Moses. Moses represents God. He was the one who had been talking to God. He was the one who represented God to His people. He was the one who spoke on God's behalf to the Israelites. And we see this beautiful picture of Him consecrating Aaron and his sons to be the priest. And God selected this family. He selected the Israelites as the chosen people, the people that get to carry out the will of God, to be his chosen people and his jewel. And then out of those, the 12 tribes, he picked one tribe to be the priests, one tribe to enter the tabernacle, and only one person to enter the Holy of Holies once a year to see the manifest presence of God. And so we live in a time where we're super thankful. We get to be priests. We get to be high priests ourselves in the matter of having relationship with God direct, and he can manifest in our life, and we can be a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And this is such an incredible blessing that we have. We don't have to be an Israelite. We don't have to be from a certain chosen people. That God and what Jesus did on the cross, he broke down those barriers. Remember last week, he tore the veil in the tabernacle, in the temple. And where we get access to the Holy of Holies now, we can see into that. And we can have that relationship with God. So we're going to be talking about then, what the priests were like then, and what we are to be as Christians now, as priests and as a dwelling place of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The first thing I want to do is that chapter 28 breaks down the different garments that they were supposed to be wearing. And these garments, just like the tabernacle and all the different parts of the tabernacle, they point to meaning and have great significance in pointing to the New Testament, not only the New Testament, but how they were supposed to represent themselves as priests. And the first thing I want to talk about, and I'm not going to be able to get to all the garments. I'm not going to be able to get to all the different information. Just like last week, there's lots to go over, and I'm thankful that John is actually going to be preaching about the priesthood and the tabernacle again later in the series, because there's so much to cover. So we're going to be covering a couple different garments, and then we're going to be covering the different consecrations of the priests, the acts of Moses and the acts of Aaron and his sons. And so we see the breastplate. This is Exodus 28:21, talking about the breastplate, and it says, "There are 12 stones, one for each of the names of the sons of Israel, each engraved like a seal with the name of one of the 12 tribes." And this breastplate was to be worn by the high priest. And it was beautiful. It was filled with gems. It had gold, and it was to be placed over their heart. And this represents God's people. It represents that God's people are on his heart, that he was going to the Holy of Holies, the presence of God with all the chosen people right there engraved on his heart. And this points to the significance that the priests had. They had this significance that God had chosen them to represent him and to represent the fact that God's people were on his heart. And so we see as priests, and we'll get to the New Testament, what it says here in Romans 8, and this is our now, verse 34, it says, "Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." So we see the priests then, they were interceding on behalf of their people. They are interceding on behalf of the chosen people. And God's people were on his heart, because he represented God in that picture of being the high priest and coming before the presence of God. And he represented God when he talked to the people. And God had put these gems. He looked at the tribes of Israel and said, "You are important to me so much that I call you a gem." In the same way, we are gems to God. We are on God's heart. He cares for us. He cares enough that he sent his son to die on our behalf. He cares that he took the time and the instruction to lay it all out, that my people are important to me. I want to intercede on their behalf. And we see that Jesus now, after he was crucified and he rose again and then he ascended back to heaven, that he's sitting at the right hand, interceding on our behalf. He is talking to the Father on our behalf. When he sees you mess up, when he sees me mess up, when he sees us going astray when he sees us doing good, being in relationship with God and praying and reading our Bible and serving the least of these. He sees us and he's interceding on our behalf. He's interceding to the Father on our behalf. That he says, this is my girl. This is my son. This is my daughter. And what I did on the cross covers them. And he's praying for us and interceding on our behalf. And it's this beautiful picture that the priests then paint for us now of what Jesus is doing, sitting on that mercy seat up in heaven, interceding on our behalf. Amen. The next garment that I want to be talking about is the ephod. And we see in Exodus 28, verse 12b, it says, Aaron is to bear the names on the shoulders as a memorial before the Lord. And this is a second place that God shows that they're supposed to have the tribes of Israel on their body, engraved on an element. And this was on the shoulders. The ephod was an overgarment. It was to be worn over the breastplate, and then the engraving part would have been on the shoulders. And so you would have seen that Aaron, the high priest, he was bearing his people before God. And that is a picture for us today, that we are supposed to be praying as priests for those around us, praying for the lost, praying for those that are our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to be interceding on behalf of God and interceding on behalf of the people around us. Jesus intercedes for us, but as believers and as priests, we are to be praying for those around us, praying for our family, praying for our friends, praying for those that don't know Jesus, because we've been called priests. So that's a then, and the now for that is in, we find in Ephesians 6:18, it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. We're not just praying for people that we like. We're praying for all of God's people. We're not just praying for the believers. We're praying for them too, but we're praying for everyone. We're praying for missionaries overseas. We're praying for God's hand to be working here in Salt Lake. We're praying for revival in Utah and the United States and nations abroad all over the place. We're praying for God to do something in people's lives. And as priests, we are interceding on their behalf. Just like Jesus is interceding on our behalf, we get to intercede on their behalf as priests. As a dwelling place of God, we have access to the Holy Spirit. We have access to the power of God and what he's doing here on earth. And we get to partake in his mission here on earth to see the lost, to see the broken, to see those that fall short, just like you and me, get redeemed, get healed, get set free by the power of Jesus Christ. And that's powerful. That's a powerful weight that we bear on our shoulders for the people around us. And that's a powerful weight that Aaron bore for his people to represent God to them and to be interceding on his people's behalf. The next garment that I want to talk about is the plate. And we find this in Exodus 28, 36 through 38. And it says, make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it as a seal, holy to the Lord. Fasten a blue cord to it to attach it to the turban. It is to be on the front of the turban. It will be on Aaron's forehead, and he will bear the guilt involved in the sacred gifts that the Israelites consecrate, whatever gifts may be. It will be on Aaron's forehead continually, so that they will be accepted to the Lord. Man, that's powerful. Think about walking around today and having this big sign on your forehead that says, holy to the Lord. Do you think your life would look different? Do you think people would see you and they might think you look a little strange with holy is the Lord on, holy to the Lord on your forehead? But that's how we're supposed to be acting. That's how we're supposed to be as priests, representing God and carrying out his plans in our life. Holy to the Lord. And these priests were supposed to be set apart. That word holy, set apart. You know, our life isn't supposed to be to look like that of the world. It isn't supposed to be that of drunkenness, that of sexual immorality, that of sin, but we're supposed to look different. We're supposed to be in this world praying for people, but we're supposed to be set apart as a people that are holy, as a people that are chosen, as a people that are set apart for God's purpose. So just imagine when you're going to work and you're having a rough day and you want so bad to use some unnecessarily four-letter words, think on your forehead, holy to the Lord. We're representatives of Christ and exactly what he's done and to the kingdom of God. We're praying for those around us, but we're also representing with our actions. And we're supposed to be known by love. We're supposed to be caring for the least of these. We're supposed to be loving our neighbor. And as priests, we embody that. We embody this image of Christ. We are image bearers of God, and we represent him. And so that is the then, this plate, this garment. 1 Peter 1:15 through 16 says, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" Another part we see in the then was that Aaron was supposed to take on the guilt of the people, that he was supposed to be praying on their behalf, praying when his people had fallen short, praying and interceding just like that. And that's a beautiful picture of Jesus, because Jesus took our guilt. We see in the then that Jesus, he stepped out as blameless, as someone who never sinned, as God himself manifested here on earth to take our punishment away. When we are the ones who are guilty, we are the ones that have sinned, we are the ones that have fallen short and don't have what it takes to go to heaven, that he bore our guilt, that he was the one who had on his forehead as the ultimate high priest, holy to the Lord, and he carried that out, and then he took our guilt upon him. Another thing I want to talk about is, and found in Exodus 28:30, it says, "Also put the Urim and the Thummim in the breast piece, so that they may be over Aaron's heart. Whenever he enters the presence of the Lord, thus Aaron will always bear the means of making decisions for the Israelites over his heart before the Lord." Now these are two separate stones that would have been in a, kind of like a bag-like thing over his heart. And these stones were to carry out God's will, to show God's decision in a situation. And so people back in those days, when they had a decision that needed to be made and they didn't know what God's will was for the situation, they would go to the high priest and he would use these stones. And we don't know exactly how it works, but the high priest would pull a stone and he would get a word from God as far as what the will for that decision was. And so we see that priests know the will of God. And the now for this is James 1:5, and it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." And so as priests, we get to know the will of God. Now back then, it was just the high priest, and you had to go to that one person. But as priests ourselves, as a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, as someone who has direct access to God, we get to understand the will of God. We get to have wisdom where we lacked it before, because God is in our life, because we are a dwelling place of God. So whenever you lack wisdom, whenever you don't know what's going on in your life, when you feel lost and you need direction as to what you should be doing, you get to go to God. You get to go to him as a priest. You get to go to him and discern the will of God, that he would speak to you, that he'd give clarity to you on your path, your direction, what you're supposed to do. And it's awesome when we're trying to live a life where it's purposeful, we're loving on people, we're being generous, we get to see God's hand at work, giving us wisdom and direction into how to love people. We get to have direction and wisdom when our life is a little messy and we don't know what to do. We don't know about our job future. We don't know about where our family issues. We don't know about different things. Where we lack wisdom, we can go to God. We can go to God and receive wisdom, receive direction, receive the will of God so that we know what to do. And as priests, that's an amazing blessing that we have, an amazing opportunity that we don't have to struggle with the uncertainty of life. We can look to Jesus, we can look to God, and we can know the will of God in our lives. We can know our purpose. We can know on behalf of our friends and family, we can discern on their behalf and intercede on their behalf and know the will of God and pray for those people in our lives. The next garment that I want to talk about is the linen trousers, the undergarments. Exodus 28, 42 through 43 says, "Make linen undergarments as covering for the body, reaching from the waist to the thigh. Aaron and his sons must wear them whenever they enter the tent of the meeting or approach the altar to minister in the holy place, so they will not incur guilt or die." This would have been a very important message back in that time, back then. Because there's a lot of different religions and different pagan religions that very idolized sex and sexual immorality. And this would have been clear to the priests, clear to the people that since they were wearing undergarments, that they were supposed to be pure. They were supposed to abstain from sex outside of the marriage. That they were supposed to be pure in their thoughts and pure in their actions. And that their holy place wasn't supposed to be filled with this pagan idolatry of sex, this worship of sex. And so we see that purity is important to priests. Purity and refraining from sexual immorality is important to God as image bearers and as representatives of Christ, as a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. God can't be where sin is. And so we see it in the now. In 1 Corinthians 6:18, it says, "Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body." And that's 1 Corinthians 6:18. So as priests and how we're supposed to carry out our lives, we're supposed to be pure. We're supposed to be holy as we mentioned earlier, but we're also supposed to be withstanding from idols, withstanding from pagan religion, from other things. Because when we have these idols in our life, when we're focusing on things that aren't of God, when we're worshiping things that aren't Jesus, we're not carrying that out as priests. We're not carrying it out as a representative of God, as a dwelling place of God. Because God demands all of our worship, all of our focus, all of our lives are to be dedicated to Him. And when we have impurity, when we have sin entering our lives, when we have these things tarnishing us, God can't be there. God can't be where our sin is. Next thing I want to jump to chapter 29, and we're going to be talking about the seven acts from Moses of consecration. So Moses was, at the time, he was the only one who was speaking with God, and he was to carry out this consecration in very specific direction to Aaron and his sons. And I see seven acts from Moses, and we're going to see four acts thereof from Aaron and his sons. And the first act is in 28:1, and there's a lot of information, so I'm not going to be able to read all the scriptures, and I'm going to be throwing up a lot of references. So if you're taking notes, I encourage you to study those references throughout the week. The first act of consecration that Moses did was he chose them to be priests. There was a group of people, and he represented God in 28 and first that God ordained him to choose Aaron and his family. And so he sees a people, and he sees that they need priests, and he sees Aaron in that tribe, and he calls them into priesthood. And we're going to relate this to, we're going to do the seven acts, and then we're going to relate them to the now. And the second thing that Moses does is he brings them into God's presence in 29:4. So he gives instructions, and God gives him instructions, and they go and gather sacrifices, and they take them to the tent of meeting, to the tabernacle. And so we see that Moses brings them into God's presence as this beautiful illustration of us getting brought into God's presence through Jesus. And the third thing he did was he washed them with water. And we know that water is important throughout the New Testament. We see baptism, we see other things, but this was a sign of cleansing, a sign of regeneration, that this life was coming into these people, and that they were that setting them up in this cleansing process. And the fourth thing he did is that Moses actually clothed them. And this beautiful picture that we'll see about Jesus clothing his people as well. And then six, he leads them into worship. He leads them through sacrifice and through burnt offering, this beautiful aroma pleasing to God, and worship to God. And then the final thing that Moses does is he leads them through the sacrifices to sanctify them in verses 15 through 37. So what does that mean to us? Seven ways that God consecrates us. As God chooses you, we see in John 15:16. He sees his people that are lost, and he sees people that don't know Jesus, and out of the crowd, he picks you and wants to love you and wants to have relationship with you. And that's a beautiful thing that was demonstrated here in Aaron's family being chosen by God. And so we too, as priests, as believers, are chosen by God. And the second thing is that the Holy Spirit draws us into God's presence, as we see in John 6:44, is that we get to be drawn into God's presence as priests. We have the Holy Spirit working in our lives, working in us. And then it was Moses taking them to the tabernacle, taking them to the place that before they couldn't go to. And this beautiful illustration of us getting brought into worship, being drawn by the Holy Spirit. And then three, he washes them with the water. And we see in Ephesians 5:26 that we are washed. We are cleaned. We are made new. We are cleansed. We are baptized, but we are washed by the water in our lives. And we can be cleansed as people. And then in 4, Jesus clothes us in 2 Corinthians 5:2-4. We see this beautiful picture of God. He has provision for us. He clothes us. He makes us righteous. He makes us clean when we were dirty. He gives us these beautiful garments of righteousness in our lives. And then 6, we're drawn into worship. And that's so. The second one was we're drawn into God's presence, and then 6, we're drawn into worship. And we see this in Hebrews 10:19-22. And then we are sanctified through Jesus and his blood offering on our behalf. And so because of Jesus and his sacrifice on our behalf, we are clean and we are sanctified and we are holy and set apart as priests, as people of God. And so then I want to look at the four acts that Aaron and his sons of consecration in chapter 29. And it says in 29:10 that they put their hands on the bull to transfer their sins. So this was the first thing that they did, was they transferred their sins, that they needed to be made clean. And just like us as believers, we transfer our sins onto Jesus, that we need to be forgiven, that God, because of the fall and because sin entered this world, there's a problem and a separation that separates us from God, and that is sin. And so they transferred their sin onto the bull, and we transfer our sin onto Jesus. And the second thing they did is they put their hands on the ram's head, which represents giving their whole lives over to God. They're surrendering their self, and they're an act of worship and saying, God, I am yours. I'm here for your service as priests. In the same way, we get to walk as priests, giving our whole life completely over to God, that he would use us as a vessel of life, as a vessel of love here on earth. And the fourth thing is they ate of the ram, which represents that they're being fed by God. And here's the four acts of us consecrating ourselves, is that Matthew 3:8, we must repent of our sins. In James 4:7, we give our whole complete lives over to God. We're priests. We're carrying out his calling and his will in our lives. And three, we set ourselves apart from God, for God. We're holy people set apart for his purposes. And we see that in 2 Corinthians 6:17. And then four, we are fed by Jesus. We are fed by his work here. We are fed by his bread. He gives us the bread of life. Now, they previously ate the bread of manna, and it was filling for a time, but it didn't satisfy them forever. But we've been given the bread of life, that we are fed by God, and we get to be in his presence, and we get to be with him forever, an everlasting filling of God and who he is. So what's the application for this? What do we get out of this as being priests? We talked about then, we talked about now, and the importance that we get to carry out in our own lives. The first thing is, are you living out your calling as priests? Now, I believe that God has given each of us a specific purpose here on earth, a specific purpose to be carried out and to impact those around us, to love our neighbor, to pray for them, to intercede on their behalf, to represent Christ and his workings here on earth. And so, are you living out your calling as a priest? The second question of application is, are you going to Jesus with your sin? Are you repenting? The priests, they took the sin of the people, they took the sacrifices, and they went on behalf of their people and asked for forgiveness, prayed for them, offered the blood sacrifices on the behalf of those sin. And we're fallen people. We fall short. We sin every day. We're not perfect by any means, but are we going to God with those sins to get forgiveness, to have that true repentance, to walk away from our previous actions? Now, we're saved by believing in what Jesus did on the cross. But when we sin, there's still consequences for our sin. It might not be our salvation, but it could be affecting our relationship with God. So are we going to Jesus with our sin and repenting of that? Third thing is, are you praying for your fellow believers and non-believers? As a body here in Salt Lake, as brothers and sisters in Christ, are we carrying each other's burdens and interceding on behalf of those in our own congregation and our families throughout the world? And then are we praying for those that don't believe, that they would know God? We had that summer prayer of revival, and it was an amazing time to pray for people, pray for Salt Lake, pray for those that don't know him. Are we doing that? Are we carrying out that goal of the priest to pray and intercede on behalf of their people? And four, have you set yourself apart to be holy and to represent Jesus? Now, can we tell that you're a follower of Jesus? Are you known by your love? When you go to work, are you carrying yourself different than that of the world? As priests, we get to represent God and his work here, and we get to be holy because he is holy. And we should be praying for Jesus to give us power to indwell with us the Holy Spirit, so that we can overcome temptation, we can overcome sin and those hard times. And the fifth thing is, have you given yourself completely over to God? We like to give parts of it. We like to give our Sunday morning maybe to God, and we like to maybe dedicate some prayer before we eat, but we're giving our whole selves over to God. It's a big ask. But when we give it all over to God, it is the most rewarding and purposeful life that we can live. And as priests, they were called to give their whole lives completely over to God. And that's our calling too. So that's how I'm going to conclude this, with priesthood then and now. Priesthood of how they did things and how we are priests. We have the dwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have the power to intercede on behalf of our friends, on behalf of our family. And we get to love people just like Christ has loved us. So I want to pray and invite the worship team as we conclude. So Lord, so thankful for just everything that you've done on our behalf, Lord. We're just so thankful that you give us the ability to discern your will. You give us purpose. You give us life. You give us love. And you cleanse us and make us new again, Lord. And so I just pray for everyone here that would be their lives, that they would come before you. They would see your goodness. They would see your beauty, and they would be made new. They would be made clean. They would find purpose and a calling in your presence and in your love, Lord. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.